word we don't like, that we don't submit ourselves to anybody. That's just something that was born in us, that was bred in us, right? I mean, that's the revolution all through and through. It's still nice and cold inside of us. But let me show you what the Bible says about submission, James 4, verse 7. The first thing it tells us is, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And I'm not going to hit every verse on submission. I'm just going to hit a few key ones because there's a bunch of them out there. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It says, submit yourselves to God. In other words, yield yourself over to the power and the authority of God. Allow him to make the choices. And then I like on the right after it says, submit yourself to God, then it says, resist the devil. See, sometimes we have those two flopped. We resist God and submit to the devil. We say, God, I don't really want to do all of that. I'm not willing to do that. But then the devil comes around a little bit and says, oh, I'll go ahead and do that. We'll submit to one. That's why he says you can't love one. Now, you have to choose one or the other. He says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Okay, that's first and foremost. Then I wanted you to see what 1 Peter says in 1 Peter 2:13. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. In other words, there are laws. There are laws that we are given, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of the foolish man. As free, we understand we're free, not using our liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. I don't use my freedom to say, you know what, I don't have to listen to my government. I don't have to listen to their laws. I'm a free man. I don't live on. Then what he's really putting in context is, you know, he says, you're not of this world, right? We are not of this world. We're just passing through. He puts this into context by saying we need to submit to the government so that I don't take that liberty that says I'm not of this world and say, you know what? I don't have to obey any of the laws around me. Because this is what he says. He says, do this because when you do that, with your well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. In other words, there's people out there that will look at you, and just because you call yourself a Christian, they like to ridicule, they like to come against you, they like to, you know, you're not following, you don't do this, you don't do that, all this stuff, right? He says, obey your laws, so you put to silence those that are ignorant, those that are foolish, those that aren't. You know, don't give them a reason. Don't give them an ability to say something about you. Or don't let your good be evil spoken of. Let's put that into context. That's what he's really telling us. And so he says, submit yourselves unto every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I want you to understand, I obey my government. Look, I don't like to do taxes just like nobody else likes to do taxes. I don't like to pay my property taxes just like nobody else likes to pay their. You know, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of stuff. You know, we don't enjoy that, but you know why we do it? Because God said so. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, unto God's that which is God's. He says, for the Lord's sake. You know what? You know what you got to think about? Next time you got to pay that, next time you got to do something, you know, I'm doing this not for you. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. Everything we do should be as unto the Lord. That's really what he's saying. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. Yeah, right. Very good point. I mean, we have laws. You can't be obedient to that, and you're going to be obedient to God. Watch Ephesians 5:22. Here's a nice one that's kind of tough, but some people don't like this, but when you get into this and you really see it for what it's worth, it really is beautiful. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Notice once again, as unto the Lord. Okay, it's as unto the Lord. And a lot of guys like to take this and say, see, I'm the boss around here, and you listen to me, and watch. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. If you want to take that role, you must understand that you are, and you have to be, the savior of the body. So you have to be her savior. Watch what you have to be her savior. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In other words, he gave himself. He was willing to give everything he had. He was willing to give up of everything for his body, for his bride, the church. As a husband, if my wife is submitted to me, and especially if I'm going to demand that of her, I better be willing to give everything I have to her. You see, when you have those two interlocked, when you have those two together, marriage becomes a very beautiful thing. It becomes a very beautiful thing when your wife and your husband have that type of relationship. But when one is off, when one is off, now you have a messed up relationship. No. Correct. I want to get to this point. Watch this. That's very correct. It's you know, he's telling you that we have to be willing to do this. Watch. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Watch the reason for this. That he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. He says the reason for this submission is because he wants to present it to himself as a glorious church. Now watch the way Paul puts this here in Hebrews 13:17. When you begin to tie these together, it came to me so strong. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Okay? Obey them that have the rule of you and submit yourselves. Watch. For they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. He says, what's the purpose of those that have a rule of you? Their purpose is because they want to watch for your souls, they have to give an account, and they want to be able to do it with joy. I have, in my 10, almost 11 years pastoring, I understand the fact that I do not pastor every single person who comes in this church. I pastor those who allow me to. Those are the ones I pastor. And guess what? Those are the ones, the Bible says, for they watch for your souls that they must give an account. For everyone that allows me to, I have to give an account for them. Now, if they haven't taken part of the first part, and they haven't obeyed and submitted and done that for themselves, I don't give an account for those who don't allow me to. I'm not going to be held responsible for someone who does not allow me to pastor them. But if someone allows me to, I have full responsibility of them, and I take that very seriously. Now, my goal is to never do it. The Bible teaches on these things, to never do it with any type of maliciousness, with any type of trying to, lord over people, right? That's not what I'm supposed to do. He brings balance and all that. But what I want to get here is what the Bible shows in submission. It gives us all these levels and all these places where we need to learn submission. And if we get submission right, now, this is where Isaac was such a great man. Isaac was in submission. But Isaac became a great and wealthy man and a blessed man of God. When we are willing to do that, we get put ourselves under a covering, under a spiritual covering, where we have a protection. And I don't want to get into all that. I don't want to head too far down that road, because I could spend a whole lesson into spiritual protection and spiritual covering. But I want us to go on to that. That is where Isaac, I think, when I studied that and I saw Isaac was submitted, I said, I need that in my own life. As a pastor, I still have to be submitted. I don't just run. I'm not just a one-man show here running, doing whatever I want to do. I have submission in my life. I have people that I'm accountable to, that I hold, that I allow to speak to me. All right, second characteristic that I found was this, that Isaac had a devotion to God. Isaac had a devotion to God. And that's going to kind of, this one I'm going to kind of move quickly, because I think we've hit this so many different times. In Genesis 24, verse 62, it says this, and Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field as at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Here is Isaac. Eventide came. What was he doing? Now, he wasn't even married yet. But what was he establishing? I have a time and a place that I go, and I go to spend time with God. The Bible says he went out into the field to meditate. He went out there to, you know what I kind of have a feeling? You know, God appears to me and God talks to me, and I want to make sure I get out here from time to time. I want to make sure I get out here on a consistent basis to give God the opportunity to speak to me when he wants to. I want to make myself available to hear from God. And so he went out into the field to meditate. We also find this here. We recognize this relationship because in Genesis 26 and 23, it says, and he went up thence from to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night, once again at eventime, and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father, fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. We see once again that Isaac built an altar. We see there that God was talking to him. He had a relationship, a devotion to God. He said, I'm going to make sure I make time. I'm going to make sure in my day I make time to talk to God. In our busy schedules, in our busy lives, in our busy days, we have to make sure we make a place where we can say, this time I spend for God. Early on, we see that God spoke to them in a whole lot here. We see that David was very good at that, exactly what you're saying. Saul, not so good, but David was. And, you know, I try to make a point. I try not to go to bed at any point, any night, without taking some time and talking to God. I want to make sure that I have my relationship, that God has a time where he can talk to me, that God has a time where me and him can converse, where I tell him and I make requests and I talk to him and I bless him and I praise him and I give him the opportunity to speak to me. Because prayer is not just, it's not just one-sided. I know I've talked about this in a bunch of times, and I won't go too deep here, but prayer is not one-sided. It's not just me saying everything I need to say and then saying, all right, good night, and then I leave. And God's like, I had a whole bunch of things I want to tell you. Prayer is a conversation, is two ways. We pray, and then we give God the opportunity to speak back to us, to quicken things into our heart, to quicken some of the greatest things that I've been able to do or accomplish or preach even. I know for certain when it's God, when God has spoken it into my life. I like to hear stories about my son. Oh, yeah, they do it. They pray it. We try to instill in them the qualities of prayer. We do. Nothing is funner. It's so cute. And they've all done it when we're praying. And, you know, we're kneeling down. And they'll slip up underneath my arm. And they'll just lay there with their heads down. There's nothing any sweeter than that. And I always, at that point, make sure I say a prayer for them. You know, they slip up underneath me. I want to pray for them at that moment. You know, it's just, it's something we try to do. And You know, I'm not a perfect parent, although my goal is to try to be as good a one as I can. And, you know, we want to instill, and it's something we need to have, and we've all done it, that we want to instill in them this, what I'm talking about, to not just have, you know, you want to have a devotion to God. In everything you do, God has to be center and first. Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Be still. No, I'm God. Yeah. You know, and I'm going to kind of switch gears here because it's kind of interesting. Not only do we have a devotion to God, but I like the way the Bible puts this for Isaac in Genesis 24:67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The scripture gives a clear indication that Isaac had a special affection for his wife. He was not only just devoted to God, he was devoted to his wife. He loved her. It should also be noted, and this to me should be noted, Isaac was different than the other men we see in the Old Testament history. You want to know why? He only had one wife. He never married anyone else. Even though that was the custom, even though that's the way everybody else did it, Isaac was devoted to his wife. He actually followed the godly model, the godly way of marriage. He followed what God said in Mark 10, verse 6, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. And what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. He followed the godly principle. He followed the godly principle, even though it was Solomon who said this: whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of the Lord. Isaac understood that. Solomon didn't. Solomon could write it. Isaac could live it. You know all the different scriptures there is about marriage and our need to, and we already talked about how a husband should love their wives, even as Christ loved the church. What we see with Isaac is he had that. He lived that. He had a devotion to God, but he also had devotion to his wife. The next characteristic that I found in Isaac, and I'm going to hopefully be wrapping up here quick. I told you I was going to go all over the board tonight. I was going to be everywhere. The next characteristic I found in Isaac was that Isaac was a peaceful man. Isaac was a peaceful man. In Genesis 26, verse 19, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found, and we read this last week, but I want to touch this again, and found there a well of springing water, and the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, and they strove, because they strove with him. What did Isaac do? Did he fight them for the well? Nah. He said, you can have that one. I'll go dig another one. So he digged another well, and they strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that they strove not, and he called the name Rehoboth. You know what he said? They strive. You know what? If they want it, they can have it. If they want it. And see, we would think, how? Boy, Isaac needs to man up a little bit. Isaac needs to, you know, he should have strong arm. God was with him. He could have said, no, this is my well. You don't need this well. This is my territory. I'm going to claim this. But Isaac didn't do that. Isaac was a peaceful man. You know, I found this in Proverbs 16:7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, we find later that they literally, I mean, you would have thought that, well, was Isaac some kind of weakling because he didn't fight for this? We see later on, and I brought this out last week, that he didn't, even though he didn't fight with them, there came a point in time when they came to him and said, look, please don't hurt us. Isaac wasn't a weakling. Isaac just chose that I'm going to live peaceably, that I'm going to try to be a peacemaker. Isn't that what Jesus said? Blessed are the peacemakers. Romans 12 verse 18. If it be possible. I love that. I love the way that reads. If it's possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge. Watch what Isaac understood. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Isaac said, you need this well? You can have it. I'll move on. Watch. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Isaac lived a peaceful man, a peaceable man. The last characteristic of Isaac was this, and he inherited this, no doubt. The last characteristic of Isaac was that he was a man of faith. A man of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He wasn't talking about the here and now. He blessed them concerning things to come. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He blessed them for things to come. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isaac understood that God is my rewarder. I don't have to fight these. I don't have to do this. God will take care of this. He truly understand. He truly learned. I like this passage here. This last one. This is my last passage. And almost right at 8:30. 1 Peter 1 verse 7. That the trial of your faith. Anyone ever had a trial of your faith? Once, twice, a couple times. We saw Isaac had one, right? Isaac had a trial of his faith in Gerar. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. And whom, see, us and Isaac have the same thing. Isaac hadn't seen Jesus. We haven't seen Jesus. Whom having not seen, ye love. And whom, though ye now see him not, yet believing, rejoice with unspeakable joy and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Isaac found something because Isaac was a man of faith. If I was to just wrap this up in a short way, these are characteristics, and this ain't all of them, obviously. There's a lot of different things the Bible talks about, but these are some characteristics that if I want to be a great man, or if you want to be a great man or woman of God, these are characteristics that you could live by. These are characteristics that you could walk by, that you could live by. Because the Bible lets us know exactly what we're to do if we want to follow it. It doesn't make it a mystery. You know, we choose, I want to live for God. I want to live good for God. I want to live a good, clean life, a good life, a holy life, a life that's pleasing to God. Well, you want to do that? It's all spelled out there. The Bible doesn't hide around those things. It's all there. That's why he says, if you seek, you'll find it. It's there. And hopefully tonight, as we looked at the characteristics of Isaac, we could see these characteristics and maybe it'd challenge us a little bit. Maybe there's some things that we need to work on. Maybe some things, I can resemble that. I can be like that. Because in the end, I want my life to be pleasing to God. Amen. Jesus, God, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that are all through it. Lord, the ways of living, the ways of life, the things that we need to do, the ways we need to live. And God, I pray, Lord, that you Lord, that you help us and you lead us and you guide us. And Lord, that you continue to help us as we walk with you. Lord, that our ways please you. Lord, I pray that the characteristics of Isaac, Lord, would be found in us. Lord, that we'd be able to live those same ways. And God, that we would choose to have those same characteristics found in our own life. Lord, so that we can please you and honor you and glorify you in everything that we do and everything that we are. Lord, because our desire, Lord, is to please you, our Creator and our King. And Lord, I pray, Lord, your blessing on every single one that's here. Lord, help us, Lord, to be your servants and to live for you the best that we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.